It's Wednesday, the 6th of July, and we're going to do our open line for July this hour of the program, welcoming your suggestions of shows you'd like to hear, topics that we will discuss between the hours of 9 and 11. You are a smart audience and widely read, and so you may... one suggestion, too, we like to do presidential shows every now and then. So when we were doing our 4th of July show, there were several callers who wanted to talk about Ulysses Grant. If anybody knows of a good Grant book, we would take that as a recommendation. But we'll take all of your recommendations this hour. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. I won't give the email because today the purpose is to listen to your phone calls. We'll give you our email addresses as we go along. So that you can be in touch with us if you can't be in touch by phone today, okay? Let's start with Marie in Bayview. Hi, Marie.
Hello there.
Hi.
I have my greatest wish for a show is would be the truth about Social Security. I know that we have a debt in the United States of over $14 trillion. But $2.6 trillion of that, or 18% of it, is owed to the Social Security Trust Fund. And I was watching Charlie Rose the other night when Tom Coburn, Republican senator from Oklahoma, was on, and he said that we, you know, talking about our federal budget and how things had to change and with entitlements and all that. And at that time, he said that we cannot afford to borrow the money. I don't know why they'd have to borrow it. They could certainly tax something, the money to pay back the $2.6 trillion that the United States government owes to the Social Security Fund. Now, I think that if they're not going to default on any of their debt, they certainly shouldn't default on the fact that they owe Social Security $2.6 trillion.
Okay, Marie. All right, so you want the show on the viability of Social Security and the future of Social Security, and that would be a good show.
And
all right.
Also, I would like to know about that $2.6 trillion,
okay,
how far that would take us.
Okay, we'll have you call in. We'll give you plenty of advanced warning so you'll know when the show is. Good suggestion. Thanks very much for the call. Joe in Milwaukee, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I'd like to hear that show, too. There's so much rhetoric floating around about Social Security,
okay,
that it just confuses the issue.
Okay.
However, I have another suggestion. I've recently finished reading a book entitled Why the West Rules for Now. It's by an author named Ian Morris. He's a Stanford professor, and it's just a fascinating. He follows, civilization coming out of Africa from that far back, and shows how they developed differently, and it's just really an interesting topic.
Is it new, Joe? A new book?
Yeah, it was 2010. It was
okay.
Copyright date.
Yeah, we missed that. That sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
All righty.
Thanks.
Thanks, Joe.
Bye.
All right, two great suggestions right off the bat. Hugh in Milwaukee, hello.
Hello. I would suggest a book just published a couple of months ago. The author is J.R. Dunn, D-U-N-N. And the title of the book should enrage many of your listeners. It's called Death by Liberalism. And it argues that many of the so-called compassionate policies enacted by liberal government are in many ways deadly, and that thousands of Americans have been killed as a result of these policies.
Killed by what?
I'll give one example. President Obama wants the automakers to reduce, to have better fuel efficiency. The result of this in the past has been lighter cars, and when people are in accidents, they die. Thousands more have died as a consequence of these fuel-efficient cars. And that's only one thing. He talks about the asthmatics who they're not going to be allowed to use the inhalers that have saved lives and made life easier for them, because the federal government maintains a minuscule amount of fluorocarbons are going to destroy the atmosphere. It's liberal policies that are destroying people, thousands of people, and the banning of DDT has caused about 500,000 deaths in the third world.
Written by my brother, Jay Dunn, right?
D-U-N-N, yes.
All right.
They are done.
Yeah, it's okay. Not my brother. Just trying to add a little note of levity. Thank you, Hugh, for the call. We go to John from Milwaukee. Hi, John.
Hello. My suggestion would be to have, as a guest, T. Boone Pickens, and discuss his plan to get America self-sufficient for energy and build the transmission lines across this country that we need, which would be like the equivalent of Eisenhower building the freeways across this country.
Okay.
PickensPlan.com has got some real sensible ideas that neither side seems to care about.
And, okay.
I sometimes wonder if people are even aware of it.
We have had that suggestion before, and I'm not sure if we've had luck with it or not, but you bring it to our attention again. So, all right.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, John, for the call. Kurt in Springbrook. Hi.
I'd like to hear you have the author, Derek Jensen, on. You've had him on before. I'm talking about his new book, Deep Green Resistance. There's various groups starting up, deep green resistance groups starting up throughout the United States, and I'd like to hear more about it.
Okay. All right. Is that a baby in the background?
Yes.
Oh.
My little one.
Oh. How old?
A year and a half.
Oh, my. All right, Kurt. We'll carry through on that. Thank you very much for the call.
You're welcome.
Uh-huh. Bye. Dave in Menominee. Hi.
Hi, thank you. I wanted to third the Social Security show, but I was hoping to get some kind of extension off of that, maybe another show that would focus on what it was like for our seniors before Social Security became law, the effect of on the families of seniors, and how Social Security affected our lives from before and after.
All right. I have a feeling we're going to be doing a Social Security show pretty soon.
Well, it is. It's becoming pretty clear that it is under threat.
Okay. Thanks, Dave.
Thanks.
Brad is next. Hi, Brad.
Hi there. Yeah, I had a suggestion to do a show on Fox News, and in particular, the president of Fox News, Roger Ailes. The guest suggestion would be an author who writes for Rolling Stone. He did an article about it a couple weeks ago. Can't remember the guy's name. Not Matt Taibbi, but another guy.
Okay.
And it's rather insightful.
Yeah, Rolling Stone does some good investigative stuff, don't they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It really... it describes how Roger Ailes has been a master of PR, and he's wanted to get the GOP on, have their own news channel since the 70s. It's been his goal, and it came to fruition with Fox News.
Okay, Brad. Thank you. Good suggestion.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Kate in Blue Mound. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen. I'm driving back from Blue Mound State Park, where I camped over the fourth weekend.
Oh.
And I realized how, you know, wonderful and important our state parks are. And they actually, they're in danger, too, now. There's less services like, you know, basic maintenance and cleaning being offered. They rely a lot on volunteer groups. And I think maybe, you know, a show about, you know, volunteerism at our state parks, or what a wonderful resource we have. I think we just need to appreciate our state parks and have more awareness about them.
They probably appreciate them a whole lot in Minnesota right now, don't they?
Exactly. I was thinking about that, yes.
Yeah. Okay, Kate, thank you. Thanks
for
the call. Bye. Clyde in Denmark. Hi, Clyde.
Good morning. program I had an idea for. This last month, there was a court case here in Wisconsin that was trying to take away the domestic partnership program for gay couples, where they can get domestic partnerships here in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And it was defeated, and the law is still in effect. But our governor, Walker, and our Attorney General, Van Hollen, refused to defend a state law in the court, and it had to be defended by private funds and people. And with the gay marriage thing in New York, maybe a program on that and possibility of changing our Constitution back so that gay couples can get married might be appropriate there. Perhaps the lawyers that handled the case that won the case here in Wisconsin might be somebody, I don't know what their name is, but to talk with about this topic.
All right, Clyde. Thank you.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Diane in Middleton. Hi.
Hi. I feel that your network and you cover issues wonderfully, and I have an opportunity to listen a really lot, but I don't think you've ever had an hour on either of these topics. One would be the Koch brothers, and possible guests would be Lee Fang. It's F-A-N-G, but it seems to be pronounced Fang, of Think Progress, the Center for American Progress. ThinkProgress.org is their website. Or Robert Greenwald from Brave New Films.
Okay.
And Eric Lipton of the New York Times wrote an article about it, about their influence in Wisconsin, but that was at the time of the major demonstrations. And the other would be ALEC, the American Legal Exchange Council, which is incredibly influential in governments also. And your producers could probably find the best guest for that. I'm not sure who it would be.
All right.
And thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks, Diane. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. It's an open line for the month of July. So call with your suggestions. If you can't get through, Rhonda suggests that you go to this listener link, WPR.org, and then /Kathleen Dunn, and put your suggestions there. That would be good. Charles in Ingleside. Hi, Charles.
Good morning. I have another angle on Social Security. When we look at our hourly paycheck, like most people, we're paying 14% per hour before we even get our money. And then if you make a decent wage, we have to pay again. If you make $125,000, you pay a great big amount of Social Security again. So it seems all wrong. That's not what I wanted to call about today, but then everybody's interested in Social Security. Look at that, for Pete's sake. You know, and then 65 years ago, the population of the United States was only 145,000. Now we got 300,000. They say there's nobody to pay it anymore because there's nobody, there's not enough people working. Well, that's crazy.
All right, Charles, thanks very much for the call. Yet another vote for Social Security, and we hear you. Bob in Milwaukee, hi.
Hi, Kathleen. This has to do with dog parks. I know you're a dog lover,
mm-hmm.
and I'd really like to have some kind of a community discussion about people's experiences at dog parks. Personally, I've become disillusioned with them, but it seems sometimes the only vehicle for your dog to socialize with other dogs. And I'd also like to hear, if it's possible, a expert in the field of pet law. I know there is such a thing. You know, as a for example, your dog gets set upon by an unsocialized dog at a dog park. Who pays for that?
Mm.
Or are you on your own in a dog park? I'd just like to have that topic discussed.
Okay. And so is that what worries you, that dogs are not socialized?
Well, it certainly worries me in that you go to a public dog park and you have no control over who comes in there and what kind of a dog they bring.
Right. I wanted a place for my dog to go swimming, too. I wanted to do that on the 4th of July after I figured I found a place. I won't tell anybody where it is because it probably wasn't very legal. But, you know, there being dogs should swim, too. Do you know any swimming places for dogs?
Do I know any legitimate ones?
Oh, they're not legitimate. I know.
No. I know of one where if you get there early enough in the morning before the people in the neighborhood get up, then you're fine.
I know the story, yeah. Those are the kinds of places you have to find.
Yeah.
All right, Bob. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Bud in Sturgeon Bay. Hi, Bud.
Good morning, Kathleen. How are you?
All right, Bud. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. I'm old and happy for every day.
Good.
Good. Hey, Kathleen, you know what I'd like to hear? I'm a political person just like yourself, and I read a lot of newspapers and listen to a lot of TV shows and radio shows, and there's constantly a barrage of accounting terms that confuse me. And the fact that double entry accounting and general accounting practices are indecipherable to almost anybody. And then you institute this gigantic tax code we got. You know, anybody can tell you any kind of number, and then another accountant can tell you a different number. How come numbers don't add up in the accounting world? I'd like to have some accounting practices and the tax code clarified.
Okay.
What do you think?
I wouldn't know. I'm with you in terms of numbers and money. I don't know what I'm talking about, but everybody else would.
I don't think so.
Then how are we going to have a show?
I can't get a straight answer out of anybody, including my own accountant.
Listen, yeah, I'll put it on you to come up with a guest on this, all right?
Okay.
All right, Bud.
I'll see what I can do.
All right, good, good.
Goodbye.
Thanks, goodbye. Lee in Cudahy, hi.
Hi, Kathleen. I really enjoy your show.
Thanks, Lee.
We have been investing for about 20 years in the government in legacy treasury direct account, and you purchase it over the telephone. Now, the government needs lots of money, they say, but yet the end of May, we cannot purchase them anymore unless we go to a brokerage house, which charges a fee, or we have to go through a computer, which we don't own because we're retired and we don't feel we need a computer for anything else. And I have yet to hear anything on a business report, on public television, public radio, anything about this legacy treasury direct account.
I haven't heard very much about it either. Can't you go to a library?
Well, you can, but then if you go to the library, all your information goes through a computer and anybody has access to it. You could purchase these over the telephone. Now, a suggestion for a guest would be Elizabeth Warren.
Yes, she'd be a fabulous guest.
Yes.
She'd be very hard to get, but she would be.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Elizabeth Warren. Why not? You can... Elizabeth Warren. We can always try. And who knows? She might give us some time. Brad in Manitowoc. Hi, Brad.
Good morning. Happy sunny day to you.
You too, Brad.
I'd like to hear a discussion on the impact of renewable energy in the state these days. My understanding is that the recent changes in the wind turbine siting rules and the cutbacks on focus on energy, you know, is having a downturn in the renewable energy economy.
Okay.
And I think, you know, if we're open for business, you know, I want to make sure that it's available to all businesses, including renewable energy. I know Focus on Energy just cut back the incentives for businesses with a one-week notice to the people making the investment. So I'm not sure if that's involved, you know, where that's involved in the budget dispute, because the Focus money is actually funded through utilities. So kind of like to have a little better understanding from the political spectrum of why they are cutting back on focus on energy.
All right. Thanks very much, Brad.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye. Mary Jo in Madison. Hi.
Hi there. How are you, Kathleen?
Fine. How are you?
Good. Thanks. I'm excited that you're having, I love when you have this part of your show that you really do listen to the people who call in and make suggestions. The suggestion I have is sort of to piggyback off of a Milwaukee newspaper article that ran Sunday, which the title said, Can Jobs and Clean Water Coexist?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's the idea of what the last caller just talked about, which is Wisconsin's open for business. And although we have a bit of a mining moratorium going on right now, there is a bill that's working its way through, although it's sort of halted right now, that will make mining possible again up in the north. And I think a discussion around just what that article talked about was around jobs and mining, and
right.
how will if an open pit mine is put up north, how will that affect the water quality, specifically to the Bad River Reservation? So
right.
In that article, there's a lot of good people quoted that would be great guests.
All right. Thank you, Mary Jo.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Our number is 800-486-8655. It's the open line for July, so call with your wonderful suggestions on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Oh, I want to tell you, tomorrow, we do this issue occasionally, and it always is just fascinating. Brian Fagan will be joining us, New York Times bestselling author of The Great Warming. He has written a substantial book on water. Elixir is the name of it, A History of Water and Humankind. He has been acclaimed worldwide for his work that unites great history with imaginative portrayals of the past. His books include the New York Times bestseller, the one I just mentioned, The Great Warming, Cro-Magnon, Fish on Fridays, and several books on climate history, including The Little Ice Age and The Long Summer. He is a fascinating guest. We've had him on several times, and this will be a good discussion on water tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Will in Windsor. Hi.
Good morning, Kathleen. I love your show.
Thanks, Will.
Somebody just before me mentioned the article in the Milwaukee Journal this Sunday on the taconite mine up north, and it's a topic I have been watching since a little tiny article appeared in the Milwaukee Journal shortly after the election, like on the 18th of November, mentioning this mine. But what I would like to have a program about is what the other call, I think Mary Jane mentioned, but also take it a couple steps farther and look at the political involvement here. How much has Gogovic Taconite given for the campaigns for Governor Walker and Ron Johnson? This law they're trying to get passed to relax the clean water standards so this mine would technically meet the requirements of the law, even though the law has been relaxed. And then I think finally the question that they need to answer is, when does a job create so much pollution and filth that it actually costs more for the economy as a whole than the job actually generates? Again, I think referring back to the article, there are a good number of people that may be guests and could lead to a better discussion on the topic. But this is going to be a big political issue and also an environmental issue that we're going to have to deal with in the very near future.
All right, Will. We'll investigate this further, and I thank you for your call.
Thank you. Bye now.
Hi. David in Fitchburg. Hi.
Hi. Thank you, Kathleen, for your program. I have a program suggestion idea, but first, at Governor Nelson State Park, on Lake Mendota in the edge of Middleton and Madison, there is a place for dogs to go swimming, a dog beach. So.
Oh, is there really? How
yes,
progressive that is. But it's in Madison. I'm in Milwaukee.
Yes. Well, come on over. But anyway.
Okay. Thanks.
Well, you're welcome. My program suggestion was this. The fairness doctrine in the late 80s was taken out under the policy directive of Ronald Reagan primarily, but others. An entire generation of Americans have grown up with the ability to watch so-called news and hear only people shouting at each other, thinking that news is two sides of opinions rather than some objective facts to be learned and discovered the old-fashioned way. So I'm wondering if a former FCC commissioner or something like that, Federal Communications Commissioner, a guest might be someone who could shed some light on what that policy change has done for the civility or lack thereof of political discourse in Wisconsin and the U.S.
That's great. I worked in another radio station for 18 years where there was a fairness doctrine, and You can certainly hear the changes when that wasn't the case anymore. It's had a profound effect, I think. Don't you?
I believe so, and I think primarily to the obviously the cable industry and the public policy position in the U.S. to enhance businesses is fine and good, but it has had this quite possibly negative effect, and especially a whole generation growing up now without, you know, having any real access to news rather than just, you know, the lack of the fairness doctrine and the people shouting at each other. That might be an interesting topic for us.
Yes, it would definitely be. I'd like to do a show on that. Probably somebody's written a substantial article, if not a book, so...
Yep.
We're on it.
Okay.
Thanks,
Very
David.
We'll see you at the dog park.
Okay. I'll make a trip over there.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks, David. All right. Madison's got a dog place to swim. John in Green Bay. Hi, John.
Hi, Kathleen. I like the show.
Thanks, John.
I would like to hear a program about prescription drugs and their costs, maybe looking at you know, their profitability, their marketing practices directly to the physicians that we see every day. And then ultimately, they're marketing and creating this market, maybe the overuse of ADHD drugs or pain medication. But if you had someone from maybe UW-Madison, maybe someone from the pharmaceutical industry, you know, point, counterpoint, talk about that. You know, you can also go into things like, you know, the politics of drugs. You know, I know several Republicans as well as several Democrats that complain about their drug costs. But, you know, not realizing how much money the pharmaceutical industry gives to these Republican candidates, it might be, you know, might really be thought-provoking. The other two is, you know, that they're so profitable to treat things like high cholesterol, high blood pressure, diabetes. There's really no incentive to find a cure for these diseases. It's so profitable to just keep treating these patients.
All right. Yeah, I'm all for doing shows on the pharmaceutical industry. I'm always amazed how little that industry has been really investigated for a long period of time. But that would be good. So I thank you. Thanks, John.
Thanks.
Scott in Appleton. Hi, Scott.
Hi, good morning. I've got two great suggestions for the great state of Wisconsin. Number one, on the mining issue, if they do decide to open a mine up in northern Wisconsin, then make it privately owned by private and state-owned for the reason of that.
I'm sorry, Scott. Scott, I'm sorry. I don't know if you can hear me, but your phone is cutting out, so we're missing about half a sentence, which could mean that what you're saying is not coming out what you think you're saying. So if you could call us back, that would be great, so we can hear every word. Bob in Rice Lake. Hi, Bob.
How you doing?
All right. How are you, Bob?
All right. I'd like to do a show or have you do a show on those people that got the recall organized and everything and have them give their alternatives to what the state should do to get out of debt and balance the budget and do all these kind of things. It's, you know, the hard decision's got to be made sometime. And it just happened to be this fella here that made that hard decision, and nobody likes it. So what's their alternative?
All right. Thank you. Thanks for the call. We've got so many recall elections. I don't know. I don't know what the plans are for interviewing the many candidates. I would refer you to WPR.org, and I will find out and see if there's more information about. They're just in so many different places, and I'm not sure. There is probably a great deal of local coverage because we're a network with many stations, so there will be local coverage of perhaps having the candidates on, but that's good for me to know. So we will investigate. Thank you, Bob. Jean in Wauwatosa. Hi, Jean.
Yes, hi, Kathleen.
Hi, Jean.
Yes, I'm calling in response to someone mentioned the ALEC group. That's the American Legislative Exchange Council. It was started way back in 1973, and their primary goals are to crush the ability of the working people to unionize, to bust America's middle-class wage structure, to eliminate job security, and to emasculate government as a force capable of controlling corporate avarice and arrogance. And there is a newsletter that I have in front of me, and it's called the Hightower Lowdown, and it has a couple issues that they've dedicated to the ALEC group. They are below the radar. They're working in the States. And one paragraph in their article says, even before Scott Walker took office in January, ALEC agents were handing him model bills for clubbing teachers and other public employees, pushing ALEC's attack from inside the legislature, where Wisconsin State Senator Scott Fitzgerald, rancorous union-busting majority leader, ALEC state chairman last year, and State Representative Voss, the House budget slasher this year, and he is the state organizer for ALEC now. And they all have the same playbook. All the Midwest states, you know, they're attacking young voters and their public schools. They're trying to privatize those, and, of course, the workers. And the source is the Hightower Lowdown. It's just a big issue, and I just found out about it a month or so ago, and it's very, very much under the radar, but very, very powerful. The Koch brothers are part of it, the DeVos, the Waltons, and so on. And so, and Prince family, the Blackwater Group are part of it, and many, many corporations, over 2,000.
All right. Thank you, Jean, very much. Maybe we could get somebody from the organization, and it also reminds me, you do, that we haven't had Jim Hightower on the air in a long time, so maybe two shows from that. Thanks, Jean, for the call. We go to Dolores in Milwaukee. Hi, Dolores.
Hi. I've got a couple suggestions. I've read a book by John Perkins called The Confessions of an Economic Hitman, and I think that would be ideal. Mm-hmm. And then he talks about going into other countries and taking their resources and making them indebted to other countries. I don't know if you're familiar with that book.
I have not read it, but I am familiar with it.
Okay, that's an excellent read. And I would, if we could have John Perkins on, that'd be great. I also like the idea of Social Security. I think you really need to do one on that. Mm-hmm. And the third one I have is I think the public needs to be educated on the difference, and I could be wrong, but on the difference between single-payer and universal health care. And if you could have any of those people on, I think that would be great. I don't know who you'd get to talk about the difference between universal health care and single-payer, but I think there's a confusion there. So anyway, those are my three suggestions, and everything everyone suggested is really great. So good luck deciding which one you have, but John Perkins I think would be great to have
good.
On.
All right, thanks, Dolores.
Okay, thanks, Colin.
Thanks,
Kathleen, and have a great day.
Thanks, you too. Marty in Milwaukee. Hi, Marty.
Yes, hi, Kathleen. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I heard recently that Germany in Europe exports more dollar value than the United States, which seems absolutely incredible. And other news I've been hearing is that Germany seems to be faring better than most countries during this worldwide economic slowdown.
Mm-hmm.
Along with that, there was a story many years ago, which I've never heard a follow-up on, that East Germany, when after the unification, East Germany was supposed to be a huge drag on West Germany, you know, because of the different, standards of living. And yet, you don't ever hear anything more about that. So I'm just full of curiosity about whether there is information there and models for us, things we could learn from in terms of their quality of life and their standard of living.
Okay, that's a good idea for a show. I
like
that. All right, thanks. Thanks,
great.
Marty.
Take care.
Yeah,
bye.
You too. Bye. George in Door County. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
All right, George, how are you?
Good.
Good.
There's a book I just finished reading. Matter of fact, I didn't quite get done with it yet, but it is a great book. It's called The Age of the Unthinkable. And the last name of the author is Ramo, R-A-M-O. But it is a great book, and this guy spends his time between New York and China. And he's with one of the big think tank organizations. But what a great book. And it just shows how we need to change our thinking about our foreign policy, about war, about... And it's just, this guy does a fantastic job. He would be an interesting guy to get on as well.
Is he an economist or who is he?
He worked... at one point, he worked, I think, for the Times and International Affairs, and now he's with this think tank, which I think is I can't remember the name of the organization that he's with now because I'm in the car driving.
Oh, okay, no, yeah, okay.
But
well, we have the title.
Yeah, it's the age
Into the Age of the Unthinkable, and RAMO is his last name.
All right. Thank you, George. Sounds intriguing.
Oh, yeah. It's really interesting. Take care.
All right. Thanks, George. George thinks it's really interesting. We'll look it up. He's convinced me. Margaret in Oconomowoc. Hi, Margaret.
Hi. Good morning. I would like to have you discuss or have someone discuss the cost of regular Medicare, traditional, and compare it with Medicare Advantage and how much more the taxpayers are paying for Medicare Advantage.
All right.
And in addition to Social Security, if you could have someone, if they're going to talk about Social Security, talk about the cost to seniors and the cost for seniors and the cost for the disabled that's under Social Security. I don't think that a lot of people realize that Social Security is paying a lot for the disabled, which is wonderful, but don't slam that in with the seniors.
Thank you, Margaret, for your call.
Well, the other one is,
yeah.
I know you've had Robert Reich on, but have him talk about what happened in the 1920s and compare it to now.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bob in Sparta. Hi.
Good morning. I want to recommend Gretchen Morgenson's book, or if you can get her. Her book is Reckless Endangerment. She is a columnist in the business section of the New York Times, and I'd like to read to you what Bill Moyers says on the jacket. Even before Reckless Endangerment, Gretchen Morgenson was my nominee for Reporter of the Decade for her forensic and prophetic coverage of Wall Street. Now she and the equally talented Joshua Rosner show how American taxpayers were suckered by the shenanigans, greed, egos, back-scratching, and guile of financial and political elites who swarmed like vultures around Fannie Mae, picking it clean of oversight and accountability while its executives gorged themselves on the spoils. Naming names and taking no prisoners, they drill deep into one of the most disturbing scandals of our time, perpetuated in the name of helping the little guy. Read it and weep. Read it now and vow. Never again.
All right. Quite an endorsement. And it is Reckless Endangerment.
That is correct.
All right, Bob.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks for the call. Nancy in Milwaukee. Hi, Nancy.
Good morning to you. My comment is that I think it's imperative that America changes to either a 5 or a 6 year one-term presidency with no possible rerunning. I am very distressed about the fact that each and every president, if he has the capability of running again, devotes the last 2 years of his presidency using a lot of time, energy, and money, campaigning not only for himself but for his colleagues in Congress. I am very upset about this. A presidency now in this very complex world in which we live needs to have the whole 4 years devoted to his presidency, to the running of our country. He's having to oversee so many very complicated structures. I am just very upset about this time period that he has to make the changes that he feels are applicable. So I'm thinking that a 5 or a 6 year presidency with no rerunning would give him that whole term to devote himself entirely to what he was elected for. I don't have a person to suggest. I called the National Democratic Committee the other day, and the only response I got was asking for a donation. I'm very upset about all of this.
Yeah. That's what people want, right? A Democratic or Republican, we need your money.
Yes, I think it's imperative that America has more than the Democrats and the Republicans. I feel that third-party candidates are not given the time that they need to have during the debates so that they can more fully explain what it is that they stand for. I am such a terribly disillusioned American at this point.
Well, thank you for the call, but you're passionate, so that's good.
Yes, Oh, am I? I call the White House and I call Congress.
Do you really? All right, Nancy.
Thank you.
Call us again.
Thank you.
Yeah, Nancy, thanks for the call. We're doing an open line for the month of July. Our phone number, is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. And we have one line open, so it's yours if you would like it. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. In case you can't get through by phone today, you can go to WPR.org/Kathleen Dunn and send your suggestions to all of us, to Rhonda and Chrissy and me that way. Frank in Madison. Hi, Frank.
Hello, Kathleen.
Hi, Frank.
You have far too many good suggestions, but I think I have one that might be unique.
All right.
Which is that you've noticed that the U.S. military is perhaps the most responsible body in American politics these days. You know, they want fewer wars. They believe in climate change and are attempting to adapt to it. And they also have addressed a challenge to the political elites and the nation as a whole. A Mr. Y, modeled on George Kennan, who was X, it's actually two people from the Joint Chiefs of Staff, have composed a letter, very prosaic, called the National Strategic Narrative. This is a letter from Y. And they suggest that the military wants a nation worth defending, one that spends less on the military, has fewer wars, spends money on internal infrastructure, has a safety net, spends more on education, and behaves as a responsible global citizen. And I suggest you can go to Foreign Policy and find out exactly who Mr. Y is and invite both of them. It would be a very good program.
Well, I think you're right, Frank.
And it's an amazing thing, a nation where the military is the most progressive. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Frank. As always, thanks for your contribution. John in Appleton. Hi, John.
Hello, Kathleen. Say, I would like to hear a show about Wisconsin and its ties to filmmaking locally, and that actually is growing. I.e., Tony Shalhoub's newest movie, Feed the Fish, where they filmed it in Green Bay area. There was a film with Eric Roberts. I forget the name right now, but there's an awful lot of independent filmmakers and people in the film societies around Wisconsin that are extremely talented. And main deal is, you know, because I'm also an independent filmmaker, and what we're trying to do is to keep these talented people here instead of going to the East or West Coast, and, you know, then you have nobody around.
Right.
So,
okay.
And there's a couple names I can give you for a suggestion to speak with. One would be Jason Buss, B-U-S-S. He's out of the Appleton area. Hunter Adams, he's a local filmmaker from Nina.
Mm-hmm.
And it's A-D-A-M-S, mm-hmm. First name Hunter. And lastly is Kip, K-I-P, Irish, and he's from the local film scene, too. And a couple of the film companies' names is Burgoo, B-U-R-G-O-O, mm-hmm. Films. And as well as, you know, I mean, in the Valley, we've got cinematographers that have worked on, you know, Crash, Traffic, Confessions of a Dangerous Mind. So we've got some very talented people.
Mm-hmm.
So that'd also be something very fun, you know, to talk about, too. And you can talk about the history, which a lot of people, I'm sure, don't know, that Orson Welles is from Kenosha.
Right.
So the list goes on and on of people from Wisconsin who have been very influential and continue to be influential in filmmaking.
Well, thank you, John, very much. And it's okay to have fun once in a while.
You're darn right, because today it's getting too serious. It's getting kind of gloomy.
I know.
I'm sorry.
No, it's all right.
Thanks, Kathleen.
Thanks, John. Thanks for the call. Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye now.
Tom in Toma. Hi, Tom.
Hi. I might just first of all say hi, Kathleen, and I think a good suggestion for the program would be maybe to talk about bats this time of the year.
Bats?
Bats. People get bats in their homes. People get have questions about bat houses, maybe this new disease, white-nose syndrome.
And three suggestions for people that would be good on the show would be David Riddell. He's the bat ecologist with the DNR down in Madison.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Bowman, president of Bat Conservation International out of Sun Prairie. And Mike Bakke, Wisconsin bat specialist out of La Crosse. I think they would do a great job on the air.
All right. Do you know if they've been on Larry's show, Tom? I think that this subject matter might fit Larry's show better than this show. I don't know if they've been on or not.
All right. Well, I'll consider that.
Well, okay. And I'll pass along the suggestion, too.
Thank you so much.
To Larry. Thank you, Tom.
Sure.
Thanks. Bye. Barbara in Sturgeon Bay. Hi.
Hi. I'd like to suggest a recent book that might be of interest to summer travelers. It's called The Big Roads by Earl Swift. It's a story of the building of the U.S. transportation network, the Eisenhower system of interstate highways.
Okay.
And it's written by Earl Swift. There was a recent review of it in the New York Times by Patrick Cook, which is hilarious. It tells about the things that you should carry with you when you were driving a car in the 1920s, such as an axe, shovel, 50 feet of rope, a pile of camping and cooking gear, and a pistol of some sort. And another thing that's interesting in the book is that it tells about in California, they were thinking about setting off 22 atomic bombs in the Bristol Mountains to make way for the I-40 interstate. But, of course, they didn't end up doing it that way. So it's interesting, and I think people would that travel, who is most of us, would enjoy something like that.
I think you're absolutely right.
So
we're on it.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Barbara. We go to Mike in Cameron. Hi, Mike.
Hi. I'd like to see you guys have a show and put on the Kakana School Board, some of those members. They took Walker's new school board thing and kind of ran with it, and they took a $400 deficit and turned it into a $1.2 million surplus and have $300,000 for teacher bonuses and smaller classroom sizes. And basically, they don't have to have WEAC insurance anymore. They shopped around and got bids from everywhere and saved over $1 million on insurance that way. And it just seems like all I hear on your show is one side. You guys never have some positives that come out of it. It'd be nice to have some of that.
All right. Yeah. Well, that sounds good. So somebody from the Kakana School Board.
Yeah.
All
over
right.
By Green Bay. Yep. And I'm not even from that area. I just heard about it from a newspaper over that way.
All right.
And I was shocked. Here's somebody that actually did it, and so I mean, smaller class, and they're hiring more teachers too.
All right, we'll investigate that for sure.
Oh. All righty.
All right, thanks, Mike. By Tim in Milwaukee. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Kathleen. Thank you for having me on.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks for giving us a voice. I'd also like to have a show on the importance of the arts in elementary schools.
Okay.
And you know, the arts are getting reamed by everybody. The support for the arts is going down. The arts board was closed by Walker. I mean, arts are important to our communities, and I'd like to see you interview some of the people that are in the arts.
Okay. And what's happened to arts programs in schools, certainly, too?
Yeah, I mean, because the arts are very important for kids. I mean, I teach art, and I see what's going on. Kids have to have that mode of expression. They have to be able to express themselves in other ways, too.
Right. Oh, I agree with you. They have to dance and sing and act and draw and all of
that's,
that.
It's all in how we become individuals, and people are overlooking that.
Okay. Thank you, Tim.
You're welcome.
Uh-huh. Maddie in Oneida. Hi, Maddie.
Hi. I think you should have a show about what would happen if we took away the ceiling for how much wealthy people have to pay to Social Security. I think that would help a lot if they had to continue to pay and not have a ceiling where they don't have to pay anymore.
Okay. All right. That's about our seventh call on Social Security. So rest assured, we are going to do a show soon on Social Security.
Thank you.
No doubt. We go to Mike in Marshall. Hi, Mike.
Hi, how you doing?
All right. How are you?
Just fine. Hey,
good.
How about a story about the real organized crime in this country? The Republicans or the Democrats?
The real organized crime?
Oh, heck yeah. Heck yeah. I mean, they hit up businesses for extra money. Businesses give them money to pass laws to protect them or hurt their competitors or put their competitors out of business. They decide who gets to run for what position. I mean, they have national bosses. They got local bosses. It's the real organized crime, and it's legal. That's the truth in this country. That's why the country is such a damn mess.
All right. You got an article? You got a guest on this?
Look into it. Look into it.
All right, Mike.
Yeah. That's the truth, man. Think about it. They decide who gets to run for what office, and then these people are all, they work their way up from the bottom. If Lefty does a good job at the local level, he gets to run for the state level.
All right. Thanks, Mike, very much for your call. Thanks for all of your calls, everybody. Obviously, some themes have come from this hour of taking phone calls, and we will definitely be doing shows on Social Security and some other issues as well. So thanks. If you couldn't get through, that's okay, because you can always send an email. The best thing to do is to go to WPR.org/Kathleen Dunn, and your suggestions will get to Rhonda and to Chrissy and to me. So thanks for all your suggestions. We'll be with you again tomorrow. Afghanistan and water. Afghanistan, the first hour, water, hour number two.